Good morning to all. Very nice. I can't see your faces out there. Lights are a little bright today, but I know you're out there. Hope you had a wonderful Sabbath day yesterday, and now looking forward to the Feast of Pentecost and the wonderful part of God's plan it is. And very nice that we've been called at this time. We are given the blessing of understanding what these days are all about. When you think about it, there are quite a number of events. Mr. Metzl mentioned that in part of that in his opening prayer there, that are associated with the Feast of Pentecost, as is the case with many of God's holy days. The Feast of Pentecost certainly teaches us a great deal about His great and wonderful plan for us, we who are a part of His church, especially at this time. But it teaches us also about the great plan of God, not only for us, for the church, but also for the world. We know, don't we, that the Holy Spirit was given on this day almost 2,000 years ago. It came on those gathered in Jerusalem in a most unique but very powerful manner. But also consider that when God uttered the law to the children of Israel at the base of Mount Sinai. Think about that. There was great lightning and thundering. Then God spoke the Ten Commandments. It was all very, very powerful. So much so that the children of Israel begged Moses to go to God and say, please, don't speak to us. Having speak to you, then you come and talk to us. They were so afraid of what they had heard. They were, as they say, quaking in their boots. God had come in a very powerful way, both at Mount Sinai and in Jerusalem. I would also like us to consider two other occurrences, but not with regard to the coming of the law or the Holy Spirit, but from a little different angle, if you would. Turn over to Leviticus 23. I'm sure we'll be turning there a number of times today. But Leviticus 23, and we'll start in verse 15. Moses writing here, verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from that day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. And he says, count 50 days to those after the seventh day, to the day after the seventh day, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs they shall be holy to the Lord. For the priests. In verse 17, we see these 2 wave loaves, and they're referred to as the first fruits to the Lord. This was Leviticus 23. This was back at the time that Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt, had led them out of Egypt to the base of Mount Sinai, and now God was giving them these holy days. And they were the first fruits. Those 2 wave loaves represent the Old Testament and the New Testament church, the first fruits of the Lord. So I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Matthew 16. Turn over to Matthew 16. On one of those occasions when Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, he told them about something that was going to happen. Something that was going to happen, and it would be fairly soon. It was going to be something very important, and it also affects us today. that has a bearing on us today. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, here's what was said. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said to him, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, my Father has revealed that to you." And then he says in verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, a little pebble, and on this rock I will build my church." On this rock I will build my church. The church is built on the rock. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 4, you don't need to turn there, that Israel followed the rock. And Paul said, "And that rock was and is Jesus Christ." That rock that they were following, on which the church was built, was Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament church began on the first Feast of Pentecost after Israel was delivered from Egypt, freed from Egypt and sin. They were freed by the God of the Old Testament, who of course was Jesus Christ, the rock. The New Testament church began on the first Pentecost after Jesus Christ died for our sins and was resurrected. Both having to do these, the law was given, the church began after they were delivered from Egypt and after Jesus Christ delivered us from sin. The Apostle Paul expands on this concept a bit more for us. Please turn over to Ephesians 2 and let's see how this day connects the Old Testament and the New Testament through Christ and through the church. Because Jesus Christ is central to all of the holy days. Jesus Christ is very much a part of the Feast of Pentecost. I should get over there myself. Ephesians 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 19. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." That's you and me. He was talking to Ephesus, but he was talking to us too. "We are not strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We are part of that household. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." We, as the church, are being built for habitation for God. Of this cornerstone, Barnes has this to say. Barnes notes, "The principal stone, the chief cornerstone, was placed at the corner of the edifice. This is usually one of the largest and most solid and the most carefully constructed of any in the edifice. Of course, one would be needed at each corner of the building to constitute a firm support, but usually there is one placed at one corner of an edifice larger and more carefully made than the others, often laid with imposing ceremonies and prepared to contain whatever it may be thought necessary to deposit in the foundation of the building to be transmitted to future times as preserving the names of the builders or expressing the design of the edifice." Pretty well describes what we read here in Ephesians 2. Along with the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, are the prophets and the apostles, it says. To me, the prophets represent one of the two loaves of the first fruits, representing the Old Testament church. And the apostles represent the other loaf of the first fruits, the New Testament church. That's the foundation besides Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, on which the church is being built. The prophets and the apostles are part of the great foundation of our church. And we, the Old Testament and New Testament congregations, are all linked by the rock, the chief cornerstone, which, as Isaiah says in chapter 28, verse 16, is our sure foundation, a sure foundation. We know that Jesus Christ, as I mentioned, is central to all of the holy days. He is certainly central to the purpose and meaning of the Feast of Pentecost. We are part of the church. He is building that church. The church is the first fruits, and Jesus Christ is the first of the first fruits. He is that sure, firm foundation, that cornerstone that was rejected by Israel and the Jews. The Feast of Pentecost is thus the anniversary of the establishment of the church, both in the Old Testament at the giving of the law by God and in the New Testament at the giving of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus Christ promised the disciples the night before he was crucified, he promised them he would bring them, he would give them the Comforter. And he told them then to wait. Wait in Jerusalem, and he would visit them. So we, as you and I, are stones in that building as well. The temple that God is building for himself to dwell in. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 calls us living stones in the spiritual house being built, which is the church. We are living stones because the Spirit indwells within us. The Spirit gives life, therefore we are living stones. The Feast of Pentecost is thus a reminder every year of our foundation. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, our very sure foundation.